Greetings. You are listening to your local voice, KGPR Great Falls. And today we're going to do a little bit of an Electric City Currents episode, but also a little bit of Voices and Views, because it's not so much about current events. It's more about current people. And the people in this case, one of the characters behind Front Range Outdoors, Marty Bannon. Thanks for joining me, Marty.
Hey, Gabe. It's always a pleasure to come into the station here. It's always a fun time, and I go away wanting to come back. And so I'm really glad to be here, and Happy New Year's, Gabe.
Yeah, thank you kindly, and Happy New Year's to you, too. I know that this weather has probably got you itching to get back out on the trail or at least plan the next year's adventures. But I'm always intrigued by your character, because with Front Range Outdoors, we get to hear a lot of the stories and perspectives of the outdoors, and we'll definitely touch on that with your efforts with the 406 Trail, and we definitely want to let people know about that. Actually, why don't we start there, and then we'll get in a little bit more into to getting to know you, which I'm curious about.
Well, that's a pretty timely question, Gabe. I just got off an extensive meeting this morning with Beth Shumate and her staff down at FWP. Very timely meetings, basically letting them know what's going on with the trail, seeking help from them, seeking their advice, seeking their experience. And parallel to that is, I think most of our listeners know that, you know, first week of the new legislature, and a lot going on there, different alignments. But in the midst of all that, we're trying to get our joint resolution through, and we're looking for sponsorship, and we're looking for co-sponsors. So we're on the phone, emailing, and on the cell phone talking to individual senators and representatives down there, trying to build support for it. And we got very close 2 years ago, and in fact, we had overwhelming support from both parties, but there was so much other stuff going on behind the scenes, and I think you and I talked about it offline. Sometime, Gabe, I think we need to record the offline discussions, because those are as interesting as our online discussion. It's like, it's funny, like when we put the headset on and you go and you do the introduction, then we're everything changes a little bit.
No, we'll work our way into that as we get going, and this is step one of that. Before we start wandering off the map and into deeper waters of conversations and perspectives. But tell us a little bit about the 406 Trail. It's a huge vision, bringing it all together piece by piece. And it's really kind of come together now that it's actually been officially mapped, for most of it anyway, and actually officially walked by some of the hikers that we featured last year on our show on Front Range Outdoors. But tell us a little bit about the history and just the scope of this immense trail.
You know, I'm not sure I totally understood the vastness of what we were undertaking when I thought about the Montana Trail. And that goes all the way back to 2015 when I hiked the Continental Divide Trail. You get a lot of time to think while you're hiking out there for all day. And I realized that of the Continental Divide Trail, of the 3,000 miles of the Continental Divide Trail that goes from Goat Haunt to the New Mexico border, 900 miles of that is in Montana. You know, that's almost one third.
Wow.
Close to one third of that trail is in Montana. It's already mapped in there. And the only downside to that is that Continental Divide Trail, by definition, stays on the Continental Divide. So it's very high on the divide. And for our listeners out there, especially our listeners on the front, we realize that we have all these beautiful prairies and island mountain ranges and rivers and just unique environments and unique areas throughout the state that the majority of tourists coming to Montana do not see. The majority of outdoor recreationalists don't see, because they go to Yellowstone and Glacier, right? And mm-hmm. in between, or over to the Flathead. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I was a little naive at the time, thinking, well, this will be easy. And I don't think I ever thought that. I knew that, but I think it was easy to get into, easy for me to take the first step.
Like any
mentally, thinking it's going to be a lot easier than it is. And there's been, you know, it's been, I think we actually started idea of an association in 2017. We got slowed down a little bit by COVID, like everybody has, and thankfully we're beyond that. I think we're beyond the effects of it. Not that I don't think we'll ever be beyond COVID or COVID-like SARS infections, but we're beyond it affecting us to the point where we shut down.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Exactly. But anyway, the trail has made incredible progress. The trail exists. And I had this discussion with some people down there about like signage and have you guys thought about signing it and putting signs up about where to access it? And Gabe, you're a user of technology, and nowadays it's a virtual trail. It exists. The trail on the ground exists, but there's no trail sign that says it's Montana Trail, because I can look on my phone and know exactly where I'm at on the trail, how far I am in it. So as far as the route, and I think FWP got that today, was we're not asking them to bless the route.
Right.
We're not asking them. It exists.
Yeah, it's already there.
We did it, and our in-house partner, our in-house 406 company that I think all of our listeners will recognize, Onyx out of Missoula, that started as just a hunt app.
A mapping technology, yeah.
Yeah, they basically allowed you to go out there and walk around and make sure you knew where you were and you weren't trespassing. And that has taken it leap years ahead, because it used to be you had maps and you weren't really sure, because we fenced in Montana like we fenced coulees. We didn't fence lines, and so it was tough. And so that new technology has made it, if you're trespassing, you knew you were trespassing.
Yeah.
But they took it to the next level and said, well, how can we make an app that will help hikers out there? And it's called Onyx Backcountry. And we partnered with them, and within 1 year, the whole trail is digitally out there. There's GPX files. There's maps for each 24 sections, soon to be 25. We're adding a section from the Idaho border to Goat Haunt, which is now part of, has been mapped, the GPX files exist. It's part of the Pacific Northwest Trail, which is one of the 11 national recreation trails. So all we're doing is
hitching on to that.
Yeah, so you can actually walk from the border of one side of our state, the western side of the state, to the eastern side of the state, and meanwhile you can touch the southern part of the, you can touch Canada, and you can touch Wyoming. And so you actually see the whole state. And
I know for a few committed folks out there who will walk the whole trail, that will be an amazing experience. But even just for people who want to get into parts of it and experience parts of it, there's such a wide diverse of wilderness experiences there. I learned that just from listening to our guests last summer about that. I forget their names offhand, but...
Faye and Carly.
Faye and Carly, that's right.
They were thrilled that you guys talked to them, and I talk to them regularly. In fact, we've incorporated their expertise because they've been out there, and they provided immense on-the-ground feedback to us.
Which is what it takes. That's the real work of developing a trail.
Yeah, you can do, the Onyx piece of it, and Andrea and Phil, the digital GSI professionals, they're doing it on their laptops using the best data available from the Forest Service, BLM, anybody that they have data, overhead satellite. But a lot of times when you get out there, that isn't what you find. And one specific area was down on the Madison, I remember, and Carly had mentioned it to me. So at the end of the hiking season this year, I went down there and hiked over from West Fork on the Madison over to the Yellowstone at Cinnamon Lodge. And I mean, just stunningly beautiful, nobody in the area, and there's existing trails. But one specific section of it is called Marble Mountain Trail. It's on all the maps. And so we included it when we were looking at the best routing. And when I actually hiked it, it was a trail that maybe was there 20 years ago. But now it was just a blowdown of every once in a while you could say, well, that looks like the trail there. So, you're right. At some point, you have to have that physical. You can only do so much with AI.
Right.
Unless you're going to have a drone go out there, which we may at some point
right.
go out there and do it, because it's that may be the most cost-effective way to do it, is program a drone to fly down the trail.
Well, they could create some previews for people and things like that too. So this is a new world we're living in as far as that goes.
And the good thing is the people that we have working on it are all people that are aware and are bringing the highest technology. One of the things, I don't even totally understand it, that backcountry, you can look at any of our maps on any of the 25 sections, and you can get slope angles, and you can actually take the map and turn it so you have 3D, and you can actually see it from like you're looking at it on the ground, not just looking at it from overhead. It's
that is crazy.
It is pretty
like Google Earth.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're there. It's amazing. As like I said, I just here, just us talking here is giving me the idea. You know, if the Forest Service, I know they're thinking about it, but a lot of how they send out trail crews now is the first hiker out in the bob, you know, hikes this route and goes, oh my God, it's got so much blowdown from all the fires we've had, it's impassable. And then the Forest Service will rejig their schedule to get somebody out there to clear it. Well, you would think instead of sending somebody out there, you could program a drone and fly that 10 miles of the section, get real live data back, and then decide, you know, where do we need to put our shrinking assets? Because that's a huge issue that we've found going across Montana. We have so many trails,
right?
And we have so much public land.
Each of those require a warm body efforts.
You know, you can have all those assets, but they all require a little bit of loving care. You know, noxious weeds.
Yeah.
Trails that just don't get clear for years and years. Fences where cattle are crossing into riparian areas that we really don't want them there, or they're not supposed to be there. So I think the Forest Service and the Interior Department and BLM, State, I think they're the good part of technology is they're going to have a lot more tools that they're going to be able to do a lot more from their desktop.
Yeah.
And not have to spend, even though they probably want to be out in the field.
Right.
But in order to do their job, they'll know what to expect out in the field before they get to the field, either from satellite, drones, whatever, you know.
So how do people find out more about Montana 406 Trail, and then also how can they best help support it?
Great questions. First, you call Gabe. I'll give you his private cell phone number. And don't text him, call him. Early in the morning. He's always available early in the morning. Best time for him.
I don't even hear the vibration buzz.
The best way would be to give you a couple ways. You can go to the Facebook page, just search Montana Trail, and you'll get our Facebook page.
That is a great source of information.
Yeah, it's a quick way. And then from there, you can get a link, montanatrail.org, simple to remember. On the website, it has all the trail towns that we just... That's something we just did in the last 30 days. All the trail towns, links, how far they are from the trail, and a link to that trail town to tell you what's available in that town.
Because it's not all just hiking. You know, you can do it bicycling, you can do it river. You know?
And there's a huge economic piece to this that we can talk about later, is that when we drafted up the route, the small team of us, I said, you know, my hiking experience in on the Arizona Trail or the Hayduke or riding the Great Divide is, boy, those little towns really appreciate that added revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we have a huge tourism, outdoor tourism, economic input to the state.
Yeah.
But it's very sectional.
Right.
So, you know, Geyser's not seeing a lot of that. Highway's not seeing a lot of that. Virgil's not seeing that. Loma's not seeing that. Fort Peck has seen a little bit of it. And those are all little communities that the trail goes either right through, And I know from my experience and all the hikers and bikers that I've ridden with, is when you get to town, it's a welcome. You're going to go in, whatever's available there. If there's a restaurant, you're going to eat there. If there's a store, you're going to buy resupplies there. If there's a bar,
enough said. Yes.
You're going to have a couple beers.
Yep.
And talk to the locals and
wash the dust off.
And yeah, and so you know, if you get to Highwood, you're going in the Highwood bar. Okay, mm-hmm. There's nowhere else to go there. So, and Highwood's right on the route. But you know, I would say you could always email me directly either at MontanaTrail406@yahoo.com or MontanaTrail406@gmail.com. I'll answer them both. I get queries every day from across the country because now we're out there on the web and stuff, and there's people.
Has a certain exotic ring to it, the Montana Trail.
We say it's the last best trail, and that we probably lifted that somewhere, but I would tell you, I don't know of a trail that has more diversity incorporated in the trail. So you will see the best of Glacier, and you'll see the best of the prairies and everything in between, which is the Badlands of the Canyons, the Missouri River. And like you said, there's 149 miles of the Wild and Scenic Missouri as part of the Montana Trail on its own. That is an adventure on its own. So, and you're right, the majority of people that experience the Montana Trail will not go out and say, I got 6 months and I'm going to do this 1,700-mile adventure like Carly and Faye did last year. What they're going to do is like, hey, I live up here in Eureka, and the Montana Trail goes from Rexford to Goat Haun. I'm just going to do this section this summer because I have 10 days off.
And there's probably, especially in this initial stage of just building awareness and of knowing that it's out there, spreading the word, like especially once you've gone out and experienced part of the trail, like telling other people about it or giving feedback as to like certain conditions of the trail in those spots that you've actually physically experienced.
And hopefully that's as the number of users we know are out there actually saying I'm hiking on the Montana Trail. And, you know, plagiarism is the best form of flattery in my case. So we've gone on the Pacific Northwest Trail, the Arizona Trail's website, the Colorado Trail, the Florida Trail, the most successful, the Pacific, PNT, the Continental Divide Trail, the Appalachian Trail, and looked at what 30 years or 50 years of experience has said this is important to the hikers or the bikers. The one thing is a little different. There's a few things we have done different. Those all started as trails, hiking trails. And we've said, we've got a very diverse population here and a very diverse, as far as the adventure and what they like to do, outdoor sports. And so we certainly want to, and what we have on there is the hiking trail now, but probably 80% of it is bikeable because it's not in wilderness areas.
Right.
So you can bike it. And we also have the Great Divide mountain bike ride that Adventure Cycling out of Missoula put together. And it goes from Banff all the way to Mexico, but there's a huge portion in Montana. So we have that route to start with before we turn east. But we've also said, we want horseback people to feel comfortable on it. And we want, at some point down the road, we even envision it won't overlap with the hiking trail, but it'll parallel it where you could take a UTV or an ATV and say, I'm going to do the Montana Trail. All 1,700 miles of it or whatever it is, but I won't be like roaring down the trail where the guy's hiking, but I'll be on that county road, that dirt road that parallels it. And because that's going to bring, those same people are going to go to those same towns.
Yeah.
They're going to go to those same towns and spend money, and maybe they spend more money.
Right.
You know, just because of the fact they're buying gasoline and other stuff. So it's a little different. We have a wider spectrum of what we look to in the future, and
for usability, for the types of people using it, to the types of settings they're using it in.
You know, a lot of it's high on the Continental Divide Trail, but when you go east and get in the prairies, there's a lot of it that's in the wintertime you could snowshoe it and ski it.
Yeah.
And so you could have a winter audience. And in fact, I hadn't really thought about that. That came up this morning with the discussions with FWP. And somebody said, you know, maybe that section is 12,000 feet up in Glacier is not going to be used in the wintertime. But some of that prairie stuff.
Yeah.
It's, they've got a designated route. They know exactly where they're at. They know what the miles are. They know there's what's at the end. So
it might actually be more skiable during some situations, because I remember Carly and Faye, they ran into rain and muck quite a bit with their bicycles a little bit now and then. And you think about it from a cross-country standpoint, you're above all that.
Yeah, I think that is one aspect of the trail that I don't ever want it to be. And I say me, I think the group, we don't ever want it to be so developed that it's the Appalachian Trail, and I love the Appalachian Trail. So there's no thinking involved in it at all. You know there's a hut there. You know exactly where you're at. You know you can go into town right there. We want it to be a little bit of a challenge. It's Montana. You're out in the wilderness. And yeah. So you have to decide, am I taking water here? It's a long ways to the next water. You know, how good am I and how do I feel? And where do I camp? It's not like here are the designated campgrounds.
Right.
You can pretty much camp wherever you're at when you're on public land.
Yeah.
You pick it, dispersed camping. You know, within the confines of whatever the individual land use managers have designated. But I get so many people that come out to do Montana hikes for the first time and go, well, where are the campsites?
You came here for an experience, right?
I said, well, there are no campsites and you don't have to line up. There won't be anybody there waiting. You know, there won't be a line.
Yeah.
So pick a site and, you know, you got to live with it if it's too windy or too wet or, you know, whatever. But it's part of the experience.
You learn through living.
And we don't ever envision having, you know, I'm going to go hike the Pacific Crest Trail this year and learn a lot, hopefully, that I can bring back to the Montana Trail effort. But I also would say I don't ever want, they have a lottery system to start and lots of permits to get. And so I don't think we ever want in Montana to be overwhelmed like that.
Yeah.
And some of the trail angels in the little small towns along the Pacific Crest Trail, they've actually been overwhelmed.
Yeah,
because, you know, they're really out there because they want to really help the hiker. That's what they do. They're either retired or whatever, and they like to interact with the hikers from all over the world.
But within balance. Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, they have 60 people wanting to camp in their backyard or get a ride to the trailhead or whatever. So, and I don't think just because of the ruggedness of what we're saying and segue back to what happened to Carly and Faye. I actually had a smile on my face when I was hearing from them about, do you know how bad that road was that you sent? I said, well, you know, it was a road. That's something you have to think about is there's always alternates around, but you individually don't look, I'm not there, assess situation.
You are the crafter of your journey.
And we don't want to, we don't envision nor do we want to make something that's unsafe.
Yeah.
But we also want not to take the whole challenge.
So it's all just casual and pre
yeah, you just watch. You know where you go to, you know where you camp, yeah. You know where you get, you know, it's, no, we want it to be a little bit, and Faye and Carly were the right to do it because they were very open. They talk to everybody.
Yeah.
There's
certainly going to be portions of the trail that are a little bit more predictable when it comes down to it. So, I mean, it's not like the whole thing is going to be wild, but Montana is wild, and there's so many different forms of majesty that I think that's the beauty of this bold vision of Montana Trail is that you do have to work to experience some of that majesty. It's not just all right there, car side, you know, take a picture and move on, so...
Yeah, I think that makes me think, you know, when the Montana Wilderness Association changed their name to Wild Montana or Montana Wild.
Wild Montana.
Well, just before that, like 2 years before that, we had made our first logo and we called it the Big Wild is what the Montana Trail's logo was, the Big Wild. And I think that name Wild Montana is so much more indicative of what they're, and I was so glad to hear that they, when they went there, because before it was just like, okay, well, you guys are just out doing the wilderness thing and not the whole environment and the whole thing that is Wild Montana. Everything we think of as when you're up here in the 406, what you think of is Wild Montana, and that includes far beyond just land that's designated as wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the trail is doing outstanding. And in fact, if we had this conversation about a year ago, I would tell you I would have been amazed if you and I were here and I had just had an hour and a half meeting with FWP, talking to the legislators down there about a joint resolution, and have two or three other big initiatives that are at the ground level that are just starting to move forward.
You've made it to a whole another horizon, but there's always a horizon.
Yeah, and the good thing is FWP pointed all those out to me this morning. And so there were three of us on there, Andrea was in Durango and Rob was in Missoula and I was in Great Falls. And then she had her team on remotely. I'm not sure where they were all, but she was in Helena. And I was thinking there, I was taking notes, and as she said, well, you should do this, and you should do, you know, you need to do this, and you need to talk to these people, and you need to talk to this organization, and you need to talk to local trails organization. And I was thinking, man, that's a laundry list. So there's
a lot of shoulds.
Yeah, there's a lot, and we're going to do it, but we have to prioritize. We have to triage.
And you've already done a lot of it.
Yeah,
like, from
we
the
have
standpoint
to,
of the groundwork.
And you know, so I wrote a comment to our team afterwards and said, so we talked for an hour and a half. Lots of information, good information. And you know, I only took three things away from it because I'm an optimist and I live in an optimistic world, is FWP is not against it. They're not going to be a stumbling block. They were all for it. But all their plates are full right now, so they're not gonna be a stumbling block, and they're gonna help. It's undefined on how much they're gonna help or what they can do.
Right.
So that's it. We have another meeting schedule. So, but as my final word with them, and as I opened the discussion, was there's no barrier to this because the trail exists virtually out there now. Whether you do anything, if we did nothing beyond what's there now, the trail's there.
Yeah.
So all we're looking at is doing is make it more user-friendly, enhance it, make it more available to more people.
Acknowledged on that public level.
Yeah, and get the word out, get it in the Montana tourism,
mm-hmm.
get it in the planning documents that they have down there, the SCORP, their outdoor recreation planning documents that say, it's a line in there and explains what it is. Get it in all these tourism. If you look at Wise River, when you pull up Wise River on the tourism thing, it says it's on section 12 of the Montana Trail. You can access the trail. You can start that section right there and a link to the Montana Trail website.
Yeah.
So, but all we're talking about is enhancement. The trail exists. And it took a little bit of time for all of the people there to realize that hey, we're not, the first step isn't we're going to go out there and pound the sign in there and say this is the Montana Trail with the semi. It exists,
and now we're going to wait for permission.
And you know, I try to stay away from the permission thing because it's quite obvious when you run into people that will play the permission card.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you all the steps
exactly
I had a boss early in my career.
How very untrail-like.
Yeah. Appalachian Trail would have never been completed if somebody waited for everybody along that
it
whole
takes trailblazers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And literally blazing a trail,
you know,
up there with an axe, putting a blaze on the trail,
yeah.
You know, and that was the digital trail back then, is blaze that tree. Well, in reality, we don't have to do that because we blazed it in a digital format. We've blazed that trail. But it's interesting that you bring that up, the gatekeepers. There's certainly, we have encountered that. But I had a boss very early in my career that told me a way to think about that. He said, you know, he was telling me in within the context of our bigger organization is, Marty, you don't have the authority to say no to anybody that requests something. What you can do and what you should do is tell them how to do it. Say, even if it's the most monumental task, if the guy says, I want to build this, and your answer is yes, and here's how to go about it. Here's, because I'm a public servant at that point, and that's my job. And so if one of my users, one of the public comes in and asks somebody at FWP, how do I do this? The answer shouldn't be, you can't do that. The answer is, here's how you do that.
Yeah.
And maybe once you explain it, it may be more than that person wants to do, but there is a way to do it.
Right. There is a path to completing it instead of it just being like this shutdown energy.
No, I know that you'll never be able to do that, I'm going to say no.
Right.
Or there's too much bureaucracy in the way. The answer should be yes. Let me tell you what the steps are.
Yeah.
To get to yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but my answer is yes, you can do that. Let me tell you how to do that.
And I like that little insight into Marty philosophy there. And you know, that's one of the things that this talk has wound up being mostly about the Montana Trail 406, but I think it's a good introduction because I'd like us to have more consistent discussions like we do, you know, off mic and things like that. But I think that this is a good introduction to who you are and how you think. And so, you know, we could probably call it Front Range Outdoors. We could call it Electric City Currents, but Voices and Views all in one. But as I've done shows with you, I've been curious about, you know, what makes you the trail hound that you are. I mean, you can touch on your history, where you came from, your life a little bit if you want, but you are an amazingly accomplished trail hound. Like, you've put in your steps, and it just leaves me in awe even thinking about a few miles of it, much less the hundreds of miles of it. But what makes Marty the trail hound he is?
I think it's a two-part question, and maybe a five-part question, and maybe like over some beers question. But what I would tell you, if I drilled down, to explain the appeal of trails, it's the after effect of a trail. So the same effect hiking a long distance hike and getting up every day and exercising all day is an extreme, there's an extreme drug effect, and it's dopamine from exercise
being organic dopamine
being pumped into your system.
Mm-hmm.
Continually, all that time. And so a lot of times there's a real letdown effect. If you go out and hike for, I don't know, 3 months, 5 months, and every day there's that extreme sensory overload. You're just out hiking through Glacier National Park for, you know, from Mexico to, or from Idaho to, and every day there's just that just overwhelming, and it pumps dopamine in your system.
You're using all your senses.
Yeah, there's quite a letdown when you come off trail. You're like, I'm used to walking for 25 miles a day, and now I'm sitting around here. And, oh, yeah, I'm not getting that dopamine, or I'm not getting that sensory input. So that's the appeal at the tactical level, or right down. The appeal at the bigger level, I think, is I don't know if I could not, if it wasn't trails, I would find, because I think every day I see things I say, I wish I had time to do that because they need help, or man, I'd love to do that. And they're all things in public service. You know, public service is so rewarding, and it's really rewarding now because it's, you know, talking to Gabe or talking to Faye and Carly and seeing the smiles on their faces or what they're saying. And you say, well, that was a small part of, you know, I did that. And those people went out and experienced it and had a great thing. So doing something, and I'm trying to think of, there's a quote, and next time I'll have it. It's a very short quote, but there's nothing more rewarding than doing something for free because you think it needs to be done and somebody else is going to get something from it. Not you, but somebody else is going to get something from that. And I think that drives me on days when I get frustrated with the bureaucracy or the fact that
the paradigm.
It seems like we're taking steps backwards instead of forward. But being an optimist every day, I get up and say, hey, look, the answer is always no if you don't ask the question.
Oh, I like that.
You know, think about people always say, hey, there's no way they're going to say, well, yeah, the answer is that you already got your answer because you didn't ask the question. Ask the question. You'll be surprised sometime when somebody says, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, let's do that. It's kind of like when I came to the station here and I said, hey, let's do a radio show. And it took about a year of talking to various people until I finally got out of the blue. Somebody said, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. And well, so, this is a great resource for that, KGPR, the local voice here. But it does take sometimes a little bit of that volunteer-driven energy to make it happen, because there's not like a central authority here. We're all volunteer now. And so we really encourage the public actually to bring your ideas to the table. Contact us through kgpr.org. Under the About tab, there's an email link there. And let us know what you're thinking about either this programming or even programming ideas you might have in the community or the surrounding areas. And Marty, I look forward to many more conversations that we can have, because I know off the scope of a particular show, we've talked about things like, you know, artificial intelligence. We've talked about
crypto.
Crypto. We've talked about all sorts of different things that, you know, one of the things I really enjoy, and I think there's a mutual resonance there, is that you have an independent personality, an independent mindset, in that you're thinking things through. And when you're touching on being an optimist, I'm an optimist too, but I think nowadays it takes a certain amount of stubbornness. You have to be a stubborn optimist. That's what I call myself. Or you can be an eager pessimist. But I think that there's an art to, it's so easy to be pessimistic nowadays, but you have to have a little bit of a stubborn quality to be optimistic about things. But I think it's ultimately worth it. It's worth it to cultivate your reality that way. And I'm inspired by your many trail tales. I look forward to digging into a few more as we move forward, but also just kind of getting to hear your take on things, because you have a very interesting perspective on life in general. And a lot of that is hard earned, one step at a time, from those trails. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that a big part of it, like you were talking about when you're out in wilderness and on the trails, I hadn't really thought about that, but when you're in nature, all your senses are engaged. And I think we've had several veils drawn across that for the average person living nowadays. We're living through our eyes. We're living through these dopamine cues that come through our personal devices and things like that. And the real dopamine rush really is to be out in nature and to explore that. And that doesn't have to be, you know, 1,500 miles at a time or the Hayduke Trail at a time.
Yeah.
It can just happen by going out to West Bank Park here, you know, and walking around the pond. Or Wadsworth. That's one of my favorite little in-town, like,
Wadsworth.
Around the pond. Yeah.
I do want to correct you on one thing. You know, if you can't send an email in, make sure you just call Gabe up early in the morning. He's always in early in the morning. Once it gets about noon, it's hard to get a hold of him, but you can get a hold of him early in the morning.
Yeah, like 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, maybe about the time the bars are closing, you can get a hold of Gabe.
But sometimes that's when I wake up.
But I do want to say, the trail wouldn't be where it's at if I wasn't doing Front Range Outdoors, because there's a lot of overlap. I get a lot of feedback from the folks we talk to, because everybody that we invite to be a guest on here, I write them a note afterwards, a handwritten note that says, thank you very much for coming on KGPR. We value your time. We value what you share with our audience. And I tell them a little bit about the trail. I also say there's some great things happening in Great Falls. You know, I lovingly refer to it as the G-Funk, because we are unique but unique in a good way.
Yeah, has a good baseline.
And there are so many good things happening, and you just need to focus on that going forward. I mean, the River's Edge Trail group, they're doing some great things with the River's Edge. The Silver Crest guys up.
With the cross-country skiing.
They're doing some good. And, you know, Shields this year gave some money to nonprofits, and I saw a list of, and we put our name on there. But it was amazing when I read down through the nonprofits that are out doing, and every one of them are doing something great in the G-Funk.
Yeah.
And my vet friends over there that do the knuckle buster up there, those guys are just doing great work. So there's all these people that are behind the scenes doing stuff that we don't always hear about. And I think this radio station mainly is how they get any visibility at all. Because a lot of times when your event happens, then you get the main media, right?
Yeah.
But leading up to that and talking about in depth, it's Gabe. It's coming on this radio where they can actually talk in depth about those organizations.
Yeah, and not just for the live radio broadcast, but also we've been working hard to make these things, all of our talk shows here locally, listen on demand. So then people can take those and use those as a resource to share with their own communities. And that's where we really felt a lot of ripples out there too. And shout out to all the volunteers who have been working hard here at KGPR to keep the vision going and growing. And we look forward to a great 2023 coming up. And I look forward to our next instance. We'll have to make it sooner than later.
We will.
I'll just remind listeners, Montana Trail 406 on Facebook. Or is it just under Montana Trail?
It's just under Montana Trail and
MontanaTrail.org. Yeah, check it out and get educated, experience part of the trail. And if you feel so moved, get in touch with them. I know, just like KGPR, a lot of it's volunteer-driven. And pick the part that motivates you. It's not like when you sign up to do these things, whether it's KGPR or a organization like Montana Trail, you're not signing on to do everything. They really want you to do what you're excited about and what moves and motivates you. So don't wait. Get involved.
Hey, Gabe, thank you very much for the great conversation. And I think those podcasts, boy, when I hiked my first hike, I didn't even know what a podcast was. And then I realized, like, all the hikers out there download all their favorite podcasts. So when they're out there hiking or in their camp that night, they're listening to all the podcasts. And so I learned a lot about podcasts and how important they were. I wasn't even aware of them in 2015. And now they're the bomb.
It's changing how we consume media so much, because we can curate our experience so much more effectively.
That concerns me a little bit, that they don't have that open flow conversation like you and I have off the air all the time. And they can just say, I want to listen to my views that agree with my view already.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that counter view. And so, but I think that's where the places like this radio
public
station.
Public is made up of a lot of different viewpoints.
A lot of different viewpoints. And this radio station, I've heard them all on here, and which is great. And folks, you can support the trail, but please support this radio station.
Yeah, kgpr.org if you want more information, or there's a donate link there, or if you just want to get involved in any way that moves you. Thanks again, Marty. I look forward to doing it again soon.
I just want to say my co-host on Front Range Outdoors, Amy Grizak, is out there, and she's
Shout
been
out.
Very ill, but she's been working really hard, and she's got some great articles coming out, and look for them. And she's going to eventually do a really, I can't announce what it is, but she's going to do a great cover article on the trail, and I'll come on here and announce it. That's about all I can say
about
it right now.
That sounds great. We wish you well, Amy. Be well.
We do.